I could buy it at the lower amounts and be okay until I, after January 1, renewed or bought my initial insurance.
Correct.
Okay.
The same thing would apply if you, as Oregon does now, have a 15 and 30 and you drove your car into Idaho with a 2550 or Washington with a 2550, your company would cover you for the 2550 in those other states because we have a compliance provision of the policy itself.
Well, in Oregon, if you buy it in December, January 1, with the effectiveness clause we were just describing, the law, that becomes law in Oregon. After January 1, is the policy that I bought in December going to give me the new minimum coverages
without additional premiums?
No. Or you send out a premium increase?
We normally, on a policy renewing in January, in December, we would try and charge the premium for the 2550 because we know that it's going to have 5 months into the new year. So the only ones we're really going to be caught short on is the one that's renewed in October, shall we say.
Your folks are all going to know about this by 6 o'clock tonight, right? they're not going to be caught short.
Well, we still have to make filings with the insurance commissioner's office and some of the other things. So,
whether or not at the time of the renewal you have included the recalculated premiums, the policy after January 1 will provide the new limits of coverage.
That's correct. What we do mechanically, I think, is up to us.
Chair moves the adoption of the effective date as described, policies issued or renewed on or after January 1.
Mr. Chair, in the back room.
Is there a problem, Linda?
I think it's late. Is that it will automatically start covering me at higher amounts or I will be obligated to pay more? That coverage.
Well, this provision doesn't speak to the. This provision speaks to what base amounts the policy must be issued or renewed in after that date.
I mean, if I bought it in October, and it was 6 months, so I had October, November, December, and then I had 3 more months, and I paid my current amount, which was the lower level, the 15.
After January 1, the policy will provide you the new lawful limits.
I pay my regular old 1530, and all of a sudden in January, it will be worth the 30 and whatever, 2550.
Yes.
You got to run over something first.
No.
Mr. Chair. President Smith, is it appropriate for the implementation of the other part of this that there be an operational date that is sooner? In other words, the reporting mechanism of accidents could begin in the regular course of, or would it be better for the industry, for purposes of education, just to have this entire bill, both policies, begin January 1 or some such date?
I've seen two effective dates on bills before, so it could be an effective date, but I see no particular reason or advantage to having two effective dates.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we need to put this reporting mechanism into place. The
delay time would be probably beneficial for the motor vehicle division because, for one thing, they'll have to figure out new forms to write out to these people and ask them for information.
Let's make the effective date such that both policies in the bill become effective on January 1.
All the provisions of the bill will become effective January 1. Those which relate to the minimum coverages will affect policies issued or renewed on or after January 1. Let's see if council will work out the chair so moves. Is there any objection? Chair moves House Bill 2887 as amended be reported with a due pass recommendation. Just a discussion.
One question.
Mr. Springer.
In the new Section 11 and Subsection 2, we talk about no civil liability shall accrue for good faith reports. What if there's a failure, good faith or otherwise, to comply with that section? Is there liability then?
Failure to report.
Failure to report.
Booth here.
The next victim of
the an uninsured. The next victim of an uninsured accident.
Who could have been, seems to me, off a remote liability.
Well, it's just the fertile plaintiff's attorneys.
Always looking for your cause of action, aren't you, Springer?
Maybe sham or frivolous. I don't know. Just trying to protect the insurance carriers here. If it's not a problem to them, it's not a problem to me.
Yes. I don't think it's a problem.
Yo.
All right.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I was just trying to read Courtney's copy of The Sensuous Man that got her on the desk.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this bill was... He has his amended to the full committee, having adopted the amendments proposed by the Department of Motor Vehicles, and it's on the second page of what was just passed out to you, submitted by David Muma, dated June 6, 1983. This bill has to do with the requirements for traffic courts to send DMV records of traffic convictions. It's mostly in Section 1. It clarifies the present failure to appear suspensions. Right now, those have been able to relate to pedestrian and bicycle offenses, and those would be excluded. Sections 3 through 7 deal with the juvenile court's authority relating to traffic offenses and clarifies that they can order suspensions as would apply to adults and take whatever action with juveniles involving motor vehicles could happen to adults. Section 10 clarifies when a conviction for a traffic offense occurs, requires a court on a, this is where the amendments that you have before you will come in on line, page 5, lines 1 and 2 are restored to their, to the present language. And on subsection 2, lines 32 to 34, the word citation at line 33 is replaced with the word offense, and on line 34, after the word was, the rest of the line, it would read, the record must be forwarded to the division within 24 hours of the time the defendant was sentenced by the court. On page 6, in line 34, the last, there's a period after the second license, just before the last word in the sentence, and the rest of that subsection is deleted and replaced with language that provides that the division will terminate the suspension ordered under this section upon notification by the court or upon the elapse of 5 years from the date of suspension. That was to get rid of the requirement that they now retain the records for an indefinite period of time.
Those amendments were all adopted in subcommittee.
Yes.
4-7. The chair moves that House Bill 2162 as amended be reported with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Anita?
Just one quick depersonalizing or de-sexing on the back page, page 8, line 7, to change him to the person on the...
So move, Mr. Chair.
I thought that was supposed to happen automatically. I'm sorry. Well, I mean, I thought legislative council generated them automatically when they came on second.
I think they do better for us when they do that. Sweep them up with a big bag.
Is there objection?
I've got one more amendment I'd like to try, Mr. Chair. On page 2, line 25 and 23, I'm aware now that there are circumstances in which a person fails to appear on a parking citation, an individual could have their license suspended. And I don't think that's an appropriate sanction. And
City of Portland, I didn't see it.
No.
What about hub locks?
Whose car that was out in front of the Capitol on State Street this morning? Well, there's a hub lock at 7 a.m.
There isn't anymore. Cooper took it all.
Oh, he took all of it.
Cooper took it all.
Well, so I would like to just see if there's any support for that, and I would move it that we include parking violation. And it would appear on line 23 and also 24. In addition to pedestrian or bicyclist offense, I would include parking violation.
On overtime parking violation. Right?
Well, there are all kinds of parking violations.
Or parking in a handicap zone, or a truck parking in a mill, parking next to a fire hydrant.
He wants to do what now? He's going to watch this. He's mad today.
Parking in a legislator's.
Yeah,
parking in a legislator.
In the Capitol. Unauthorized parking.
Further discussion of the amendment. Is it on, Bart?
I guess I'd address this to Vanita, and that is. How bad does a person have to be before they get their license suspended for failure to pay a batch of parking tickets?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Lombard, you'll have to forgive me, but I don't believe we suspend. I don't think we honor those for failure to appear for parking now. If it's strictly an overtime parking, if it's something that is parking in the way of a hazardous situation, then I think we might go ahead and honor it. If you look on page 5, one of the exclusions to reporting convictions to us, we have clearly said, instead of the words petty offenses of the nature described, we have enumerated certain parking offenses that we do not want to be reported to us as convictions, to make that more precise. But I don't believe that we're suspending for failure to appear on a parking citation now unless it's something of an aggravated nature of it.
So if the amendment were adopted, it would just be specifying your current policy?
I believe so.
Call this aggravated parking? Is that what
I guess what I'm saying, Mr. Chairman, I think what I'm saying is that if it's overtime parking and that sort of thing, we're not doing it. There may be some times where if they're parking in a way that would produce a hazard to traffic.
Like the entrance to a firehouse or something.
Blocking driveways, something of that nature, that we might look on that quite differently than we would look on just plain old overtime parking.
Well, Arsene Springer, the problem I have is that your motion is rather open-ended. There are a variety of specific kinds of offenses. Are you intending to include
any parking?
All of these that involve just the question of the location of the car, stationing of the car, whether that's a...
That's my motion.
Further discussion?
I think we ought to suspend the licenses and hang by their toenails people who are parking in handicapped places that aren't handicapped. That's what I...
You want worded exactly like that?
Or parking in front of a fire hall or something like that. I don't know who'd do it.
these days.
Except for
you got the spirit.
Call the roll of the amendment.
No.
Hill?
No.
Lombard?
No.
Rivera?
No.
Nice try, Springer.
Smith?
Aye.
I knew somebody else would try to win me.
Springer?
Aye.
Rutherford?
No.
Meyer?
No. Try overtime parking.
Well, leave out the aggravated offenses. You might pick up some votes.
Could be just as bad.
The bill is amended. Call the roll on the bill's vote.
Would you overtime?
Courtney?
Yes.
Happy
mail.
130% aye. Overtime.
Hill?
Aye.
What's your wager call?
Lombard?
Aye.
I'll get it on the
side.
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Rutherford?
Aye.
I was going to try a minority report.
Aye.
27-26.
That's funny.
Most of you should have copies of this. It's just
this thing. I remember this.
Proposed amendment. Subcommittee 1 adopted this amendment proposed jointly by DMV Highway and State Police, dated 6-6-83. I want to make sure that the words must proceed are deleted, and that's been replaced with is proceeding. I don't know if that was on those of you that aren't taking the newer version of that. It wasn't on the original that was changed. This bill all started with the notion of a person intended to require somebody who was in a left lane of traffic, even if they were going the same direction, that they would have to get out of the way of a faster moving vehicle, even if all of them were speeding or going over the speed limit. It was a $100 violation. These amendments replace the provisions of the bill that was an attempt to amend an existing offense of impeding traffic. As it reads now, it was the offense of impeding traffic if a person's driving a motor vehicle at such a slow speed as to impede or block the normal and reasonable movement of traffic, unless the person had to do that, go at a reduced speed to safely operate the car or comply with the law or if there was an emergency. So this, instead of eliminate any reference to at a slow speed, and just provide that it would be the offense of impeding traffic if the person was driving in a manner that impedes or blocks the normal and reasonable movement of traffic unless they're proceeding in a manner that's needed for safe operation. It's a C traffic infraction, and that makes it punishable by a fine of up to $100.
What is the conversation that you want?
I move the amendments 6683, Highway Department of Motor Vehicles, State Police, everybody else is in there.
Discussion?
Can I give a warning, Mr. Speaker?
Well, yes.
Anybody who wasn't on this subcommittee that tries to figure this out or come up with your own formula as to how to do this will end up, I promise you, with an ice cream headache.
Jim Smith, I'm the committee for whom this bill was introduced, right?
Yes, I'm telling you.
I understand he's about to ask a question. Why don't you move to table it?
I wouldn't entertain it. I thought that this one's hand.
Did the subcommittee figure out a combination of motor vehicles is in this language?
So, here we go.
Well, I'm asking, did it? I mean, yes or no would suffice, I guess.
We didn't discuss that. I have no idea.
Trailer?
How you drive a combination of
that's present law.
It is.
I assume that's defined in the code.
The first trailer was John Wayne.
I think it was a stuntman with a foot on each car.
You haul trucks with a car behind it.
Stunt person, pardon me.
Team drivers, able to trust it.
Is it his bill?
That was my understanding.
Is this your bill?
It is.
Ah, come on, I introduced it with state police.
Oh, good thing. Good thing to say. Well, no, this thing was impossible. This is very general and open language that they've come up with the amendments.
Hurry up.
Whatever. Whatever.
Well, the motion was to report it.
Motion was to go for the amendments. You want me to withdraw that? Just let it lie out there in the sun?
The amendments were adopted.
No, they weren't. No.
They were adopted in September.
Yes, they were.
They were?
Yes.
666 were adopted?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You voted for them.
I did, too. It was on 4-7 we did that. Back in April.
I'd like to have either a motion to report or a motion to table. Let's see where the committee is and get on.
I'll move the bill to the Senate.
Smith moves that House Bill 2726 as amended be reported with a due pass recommendation that be placed on the consent calendar.
I don't think it's that big a policy issue.
What's it do?
Yeah, don't. Vote.
Jeez.
I moved the previous question. Do something.
Would you like to take 60 seconds, Linda, and try to explain what the difference this makes in the present law, in the real world?
I understand taking the he's out of there.
Oh, Linda.
Okay, I guess I wouldn't be absolutely sure that an officer or the court couldn't deal with existing conditions of fast drivers blocking the way of even faster drivers under this, except I think the notion of it is that the way that it's worded now is that it's when a person's impeding traffic when they're traveling at such a slow speed. And we really mean in this bill to say even speedsters blocking speedier traffic or slow people blocking speedier traffic would be encompassed within this bill. I don't think the wording is exactly clear before. I don't think that there's very exacting language in the provisions now, but it gives a greater sense of it being able to encompass other than slow traffic.
Would the obligation to give way, or would the obligation to would the proposed amendment law be violated by anyone who was driving at up to what would violate the basic rule?
Only or above?
Up to at least that fast. Would you have an obligation to yield to a faster car behind you?
As I understand it, if you were going below that, you could, the existing law or this law would be able to be used against a person who was going up to the basic speed as well as faster than the basic speed if a faster person was behind them. And if there was a judgment call that they were impeding what's the normal and reasonable movement of traffic. And the experts are out there, so.
Thanks, Quebec.
Silence out there.
All right. Just so I don't have to hear it.
Mr. Chairman, in the subcommittee, was there testimony that there would be citations issued and that there would be prosecution for a Class C traffic infraction on any kind of a regular basis or at least a periodic basis to persons who were going in excess of 55 but still within the basic rule? Because other persons, also within the basic rule, were impeded from getting past them. Were the state police of that opinion?
Well, I can't recall if we specifically discussed it.
Are you asking,
well, does that trigger a citation?
Well, I think under this, it's intended that it would, I gather, but I'm wondering, as a practical matter, how often it would.
Ken Chambers, Oregon State Police Traffic Division. I would foresee one of our officers on the interstate, for example, using this for the intentional or just very negligent driver who would get out in the left or the far left lane and just refuse or just totally fail to move over for other vehicles, where he's definitely causing a hazard, perhaps causing excessive number of vehicles to follow too close, passing on the left shoulder and that type of thing.
And up to what speed,
well,
would you expect that citation to issue under this law in terms of the lead car?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would suppose he's probably somebody in the area of 50 to maybe to 60 miles an hour, something like that. This is kind of my own, putting myself in the place of an officer out there. Certainly if a car is running 65, 70 or something like that, we're probably going to take him on speed.
So
in effect, this change would increase the range of speeds which would clearly constitute impedance by the lead car. Hmm? That at such a slow speed, you'd be referring more broadly to, as the language of the bill would change it.
Generally, a slow speed, I think for most officers, someplace on a freeway, probably around 45, something like that. You start getting around 50, is that such a slow speed?
Well, I think the main question that's I've been trying to grapple with is what is the upper limit of the lead car speed beyond which the duty to the impedance ceases to be an impedance? Mm-hmm. Itself becomes unlawful, I guess,
for that risk.
Is it the basic, which you would judge to be the basic rule?
I don't think, if I'm following you right, generally a basic rule on the freeway is probably someplace 75 to 80, depending on the traffic conditions. I can't foresee us issuing somebody going 70 or 65 a citation for impeding traffic because other people want to go 70. I would foresee this more of somebody in the area around 55, 54, 53, 56, something like that.
Or a speed beyond which, I guess a speed which is, okay.
Further discussion, I'm going to withdraw my motion because I'm getting all kinds of signals here that what's going on. The subcommittee's heard it. The subcommittee doesn't like it. I don't know how it got to the full committee, but.
I think we liked it.
I feel more comfortable now that we've had this little dialogue.
See what happens.
Mr. Chair, do you think we need an amendment in here that says that an officer cannot, in the same stop, issue a citation for this violation and a speeding violation at the same time?
Speeding and speeding.
No, you're taking the motion off. You're taking the motion off.
I don't know if he's letting me hand it back. It's just the motion of the committee.
You want a motion?
I think so. I'm more comfortable now.
Okay.
I didn't say a majority. That's far down. Further discussion of the motion. Call the roll.
Horton.
Yes.
Hill.
No.
Lombard.
Aye.
Sivera.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Springer.
Aye.
Rutherford.
Dick's having a terrible
day. Myers.
Aye.
2966. Jerry, you want to come back up on this bill for a moment?
It's no longer on the consent calendar because of the negative committee.
Yeah,
veteran.
Right.
It's a good
right.
Work, Bill.
Any of you members who have business in East Multnomah County, please feel free to take off. We'll ask Bill.
think you're due up there.
How about Eastern Washington County?
I'm not talking about just going home.
Nothing that normal. I didn't get that same invitation last year.
Can this bill be salvaged? Is it in a way can be made workable?
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Cooper, I believe it can be. I have some proposed amendments that are not finalized yet, and the reason for that is that Senator Brown has introduced Senate Bill 714. It had a hearing on the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's been set for a work session next Thursday, and Senator Brown has been away from the legislature the last few days. I need to speak to him and be sure that it's all right with him, because the Oregon State Police have been working with him.
And the same problem?
The same problem, but the Senate Judiciary Committee, there was also some roadblock issues in there, and they had tabled it. Senator Brown wants to re-examine the no-operator license infraction and the failure to display crime statutes, and there's been some proposed amendments on the Senate side, but I believe that this would be a better vehicle, but until Senator Brown is available and I can discuss it with him, I do not want to do something that would place the state police or the